Time is 8.35, about to go 8.36. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9. Hi, FM. It is Military Mondays. And that means Major David Katz joining us in a studio. Very good morning.
Morning, Howard. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for asking.
I can hardly see you over the balloons.
Over the balloons. There are a lot of balloons in
can
studio.
I move
Don't you dare. Don't you touch my balloons.
Okay, so we just won't see each other.
That's right. It's radio, David.
It's like a double radio. Blind system.
Okay. Right, exactly. All right, so I might be in good spirit today, but certainly America, the United States, having a very, very rough weekend. Two shooting attacks in various parts of the country. It's domestic terrorism. It is just people at its worst. What on earth is going on, David? From your perspective, and how on earth do they try and curtail this?
Yeah, I took a look at it last night, and I tried to get some grip on the statistics just to get a feel for it. The first thing I wanted was a definition of a mass shooting. What constitutes a mass shooting? And I got a couple of definitions, more than four people. And when I had a look at some of the stats, and I must tell you, the stats are not readily available. If you and I must probably that's part of the problem, is that nobody can really get a grip on what's happening, how to define it. Some of the stats I got are absolutely horrendous. In 2019, I picked up off one website, 1,300 people have died in mass shootings. 292 incidents since January of mass shootings. That's more than four people in various incidents there. And, just so many school shootings also. It's just incredible. So as a first step, I picked up one of the first problems. Was that there's a problem with definition of what the problem is, and there's even a problem of getting to grips with the stats. And if you can't define the problem and you can't get a grip on what's happening, it's part of the problem. Is
right.
that
if you can't it, name
getting
it, you
to
can't
solve
tame it.
It. Right. Absolutely. And then you can't. I would say that you can't put it down to one thing. It's a conglomerate of problems.
And that's, of course, to me, one of the bigger issues that they're dealing with at the moment is because they're using it to further political agenda. Now it's a Trump thing. And when Obama was in power, it was an Obama thing. So what this does is it actually doesn't address the problem because we've seen it across, this is a bipartisan issue. It's been across different administrations, whether it's Democrat or Republican, and it's actually only getting worse.
I think there's a perfect storm of events happening. I mean, certainly we can turn around and say, is there blame to be laid at the door of leadership for creating a heightened racial tension within the country? Mm-hmm. And I would certainly say that the rhetoric from Trump and that type of thing is certainly increased it, but we can't put the blame just on that. I think it's created an atmosphere that is conducive to this type of thing. But there's also a problem of lax gun control. I believe this shooter, this latest one now, in El Paso, received his weapon through the post. It was on the mail order. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, there's absolutely no background check. So the gun control laws are very, very lax. And then you've just got this problem in the United States and other countries is that a lot of the white youth are pretty nihilistic. And they are attracted for reasons of trying to get some purpose in life, are attracted to these right-wing fascist-type organizations, and they want to make a name for themselves. And this is an instant way to gain notoriety.
So is it about gun laws? Because my concern with this is you know, the attack in Hawaii, in Ohio, was stopped within 30 seconds of having been started.
Yes, yes.
If people aren't armed,
yes.
if the good people aren't armed,
yes.
Then that wouldn't have been, and a bad person decides they're going to get hold of a gun anyway.
Yes.
Look at South Africa. I mean,
yes.
We've got very, very strict controls here in South Africa, but gun violence is a major problem.
It certainly is, and in South Africa we've got an implementation problem. We've got some great gun control laws, but the implementation is not done correctly. Mm-hmm. And in America, there aren't great gun control laws. It's a free fall over there. You can get your gun through the mail order or just walking in certain states. So there is a certainly adds to the problem. If you say to me all people should be disarmed, I don't think that's going to solve the problem either. Is that sometimes it can stop an incident if certain people in the population are armed. So they were even talking about arming school teachers. I don't know if that's a great situation to be in, but it certainly can help a situation if your population, some of the better people in the population are armed. So I'm just saying that the gun control laws are very lax. If you did something, just instituted proper background checks, you would do away with a lot of these problems.
Not all of them, though, because in Hawaii, Ohio, there was nothing apparently
nothing,
yes. to indicate
absolutely.
That this kid was going to lose it.
No, surely, and that's what I'm saying to you. We can't put a finger on one thing. It's a conglomerate of problems. And one of the things also air fueling the fire is this whole aspect of social media, making it easy for like-minded people to get together and share ideas and manifestos and that type of thing. So social media has changed the whole face of this also. And it's something that also adds into the mix and has to be tackled and understood. So, it's a conglomerate of different problems. It has to be tackled on many, many fronts, not just one.
Yeah, and as I say, my concern is the fact that it is so focused on political parties and on presidents means that they never get to have the real conversations.
Certainly, but I really believe that the racial tension in the States has been heightened. Whether we can I don't want to sit here and be a politician and lay the blame at the door.
If that's your view, I respect it. Do you think that Donald Trump has made the situation worse?
Well, I think he's fueled the fire. There's no doubt about it. I mean, some of his rhetoric is absolutely unacceptable. I mean, across the board. I mean, even people in the Republican Party are saying that some of the rhetoric is just absolutely unacceptable. It's emboldened these type of people, no doubt about it. It certainly hasn't dissipated the problem. I mean, it hasn't helped the problem.
No.
And okay, so let's take away from it. Let's not be negative about it. What has he done to alleviate the situation of racial tension? He hasn't done much. I mean, I don't know. Or what he said after these shootings and is not enough. There's not enough leadership to tackle this type of problem.
But again, there never really was. If you look at the school shootings that happened under Obama, it was absolutely appalling.
Yes.
But and
that's due to the gun con the gun the gun.
Hold lobby. On. Wait. Okay. All right. No. You've just been exposed, pal.
Okay.
Stop a second. So during Obama, it was because of the NRA and the lack of gun control that lobby.
I really believe
during
that. That's a strong
Trump,
lobby. Yeah.
During Trump,
same lobby.
It's about his racial provocation.
There's two aspects here.
That doesn't work. You can't say that.
There's two aspects over here. There's the strong gun lobby, the NRA, and very influential on the voting, and most probably would affect the Republicans more than any other party.
Right.
And there's no president at this stage of the game that wants to lose votes because they take a stand against the NRA. So that's what I'm saying
true.
To you.
That is true.
Trump's racial stance has got nothing to do with his stance with the gun lobby. So he's obviously got to pander to the gun lobby.
Right.
And that's a disappointment. So he's got to be very careful what he says. And as I said to you before, it's not about banning guns totally. It's about putting in certain controls, which the gun lobby doesn't want. It's about putting in certain background checks and controls, just the rudimentary stuff. The 80-20 rule, Howard, that would take care of 80% of the problems. The other 20% would
slip
through.
You're never going to, yeah.
So I'm saying to you that there could be stronger gun control measures over there to take care of those 80% of the lunatic fringe that are just have access to these guns willy-nilly.
I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. Do you think that this is about gun control and stricter gun control is required in the United States, or is this about something completely different? Time is 8:48. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Hi FM. Major David Katz in a studio with me this morning, and we're speaking about the incidents that took place over the weekend in the United States via what I've called the domestic terrorism attacks. Unsigned says, saying that illegal aliens are not welcome in the U.S. is not racism. The Democrats, the Democratic Party and left-wingers have branded it racist. And another unsigned line says, good morning. What's domestic terrorism and who came up with that term? I just wonder what it would have been called if one of someone from the Middle Eastern background had been guilty, but the U.S. is selective when it comes to issues like this. I'm not sure. Is it offensive to call it domestic terrorism?
I think you're identifying it.
It's homegrown.
I think you're identifying it 100%. It's terrorism. There's no doubt about
it. It is terrorism.
It's homegrown. So I think it's a good terminology. And that's it's part of getting real about what the situation is. There's a homegrown terrorist problem in the United States, and they've got to realize it. And my view is
it doesn't start with gun control. That's where it ends. It's got to start way, way back and try to understand what it is about American society that has led to a situation that people are so frustrated, mad, dilly, and there's no justification. I'm not obviously, God forbid, justifying it in any way. But what is causing this? What is causing young people, primarily males,
white males,
to go and shoot other people?
I think they're feeling marginalized. I think a lot of these kids are marginalized. And as I said, it's a complex psychological problem. At the end of the day, you'd need a psychologist near to try and put their finger on it.
Mm.
But what is happening is you're getting a lot of kids today without purpose.
Mm.
They don't have a purpose. They're just a number in this huge society. At the end of the day, that's highly materialistic, and they want to be something. They want to count for something. So instead of embracing purpose,
The fame aspect also a major problem.
Absolutely, they go and embrace an ideology, the wrong ideology, and they gain notoriety through doing these type of things. So instead of being a number now, they make the front pages of the news. So it's a pretty nihilistic way of looking at things, and pretty frightening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Time is 8:50. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 High FM. That was Major David Katz talking about the incidents in the United States. I'd love your thoughts on it. Do you think that stricter gun control would help the situation? And what do you think, if I had to ask you, what is the primary cause of these types of incidents? In your view, what would it be? I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. Now, there's just been a bit of an invasion of into studios. Anati, what on earth is this about?
A bit of a disruption, a bit of some sort of takeover, some sort of coup.
Three people here, a little bit familiar to me.
Yes. Well, these are your children.
All right. Well, yes, I said familiar. I did say familiar. All right, why are you guys in studio?
So, since it's your 51st...
Well, you're going to have to pull that mic closer to yourself.
Yeah,
sure. All right.
Since it's your 51st birthday, we thought we would kind of do rapid-fire questions that you'd have to answer.
All right, I've got my... David, will you be my...
I'm going
to
try and assist you.
Assist me here, and you'll be my Tony Zanatti.
Yeah, I love them.
Keep that brain sharp.
Right. Why is it downhill from now, do you think?
Yeah, 51's an
easy number. I think 84 it started. Dropping.
All right, so let's go.
Okay.
Ask the question.
The first question is from Mom.
We're not asking that. Move straight on. I don't know what time I'm going to be home. All right, I just don't know.
Why do you take credit for all my songs?
All right, next.
No.
I don't, Zanatti.
You do. I think. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. Wow. There's no loyalty in the studio. Clearly.
Are you sure you don't want to hear Mom's?
Okay, carry on.
Okay, this is from Zach, Zara, and Ruby. Mm-hmm. Zara's, who's your least favorite daughter-in-law?
Wow, that's a leading question. I'll take the fifth.
Sorry, David says I'm unable to answer that question.
Okay, Al, you ask.
Right, but come close to the mic.
This one's going to really get to you, Pops.
Mm-hmm.
You've had about 6 midlife crises. What should we expect for your next one?
Just to keep us prepared, you know.
I think you've got to wait for his next book. I've actually read his books. I've learned all about their 6 midlife crises.
Well, we could say that's 3. Yeah. There's 3 books, so that's already 3.
So we'll get to it on the 6th book, I think.
I think I'm going to become a hot air balloonist. That's what I'm thinking. What
are you not entertained? I'm so entertained.
All right, that was a very hectic question. Next, please.
You didn't answer it.
No, I said I'm going to become a hot air balloonist.
Okay, so I've got a very serious one, actually.
Okay. How much do you need, Jude?
Depends on the next shoes.
Right, exactly. What's your question?
What are some of the most important life lessons you've learned over the 51 years?
Okay, that's a very real question, and I absolutely love that question.
Yeah, you're not going to get more of those.
All right. So, I mean, this is the only actually. This is it. So, over the 51 years, the most important, some of the most important life lessons that I've learned certainly is try and find your own truth. Be true to who you are. Because if you don't want to have six midlife crises, along the way, then it is best that you actually try and find yourself from early on and don't live the life that other people that you think that other people want you to live, because at the end of the day, it's your life. And what's going to make you happy, what's going to make you fly, is living your own truth. And that's the first thing. And number two is valuing the people around you that really that are the most loyal, loving, caring people.
Oh, that's sweet.
Which is me.
And me. But speaking of valuables and value,
what do you want
to know? What did you do to make him flush your wedding ring down the toilet? And why did you didn't get a new one?
Okay, well, so I did get a new one, but I kept losing them, so I have lost three wedding rings. So for why are we talking about this on radio? And Ben was 2 years old when he flushed my wedding ring down the toilet. We were on holiday. I think what we need to do is ask him why he flushed the wedding ring and what was he saying in his Oedipal state of 2 years old. Next.
Okay, who's your favorite child?
Oh, you are Abs.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Well, do you ask the question then?
Honestly, what did you guys
Who's your favorite child?
You are Church. You are Church.
Okay, that doesn't feel so genuine.
I'll throw in a serious one, Pops.
Okay, go come close to the mic.
What is your greatest regret in the past 51 years?
Wow, what is my greatest regret in the last 51? I actually don't even have one. In truth, I don't have
Not giving Military Mondays 45 minutes.
Yes.
Five children. You stopped at three.
No, he said four.
Or four works.
You did say four.
Okay, none of you are a regret, actually. No, I don't. I serious,
you
genuinely.
Did, and I quote, I could have stopped at four.
Yeah, I'm very happy with four kids. Didn't mean I didn't
value.
Five.
Just all right. A little bit of
we
context.
Were talking about good parenting or bad parenting earlier on.
Okay, but I've never done that. I've never put any of my children in jail. Not yet. Right, exactly. No, genuinely speaking, even things that have gone wrong in my, or what is perceived to have gone wrong in my life, or even things that have been extremely difficult and extremely painful to live through, have been life lessons. And I'm very, very grateful for all of them. Peter Fine says, rubbish, your biggest regret is buying Archie. All right,
wow.
I do hear that. All right, any further questions?
The last one is Mom's.
Mm-hmm. Come close to the mic.
What's your best memory and your best memory in the past 51 years? And she better be part of it.
So Mom asked the question, well, then it would have to be our wedding, wouldn't it?
Nice one.
Good choice. Right, there we go.
I have one more question.
Oh, really? Yeah. If you're going off script, then this is not happening. You should be going off script.
I think so.
Right, all right. What's your question? Closer to the mic, please.
Did you really cook in the beginning of the marriage? Because we don't believe you.
So when we got married, actually, now that we are talking about that, I was a better cook than Mom. Now that isn't saying much because the woman couldn't boil an egg, but so I was.
Now you can't.
Well, there's can't and won't, Al, which is very, very different.
Yeah, I told you from 48 just downhill.
It was a matter of
father was an expert with a pressure cooker.
Exactly, you know? We discussed pressure cookers on the show, don't we?
But this is the same man that can't make, what's that, steel cut oats?
Nobody can make steel cut oats. You put it in the microwave.
For 8 minutes.
Okay, because it said half power 4 minutes, so I put it at 8 full power for something. I don't know. I did a calculation. It was wrong. I made a mistake. And of course, the microwave paid the price, but it was, David. It was cement around the microwave.
8 minute noodles in 4 minutes.
No, it was the steel cut oats. I had a very healthy morning one morning and I decided to make myself steel cut oats, right. But the instructions were confusing. It wasn't 8 minutes. It was half time at 4 minutes. So
four more power.
You dialed
the power in.
So what I did was I did it for 2 minutes at full power or something, yes. And then basically.
And you didn't get the same result.
Well, nor did the microwave. No. Most definitely not. So yes, I do. I can still cook, actually. I can still cook.
Soup doesn't count.
You mean adding salt to my soup isn't cooking.
Right.
All right. Well, there we go. If you're going to be so strict on the definition, well, then there's really not much that we can talk about.
And this one's from Zach, though. Who's your favorite person to present with?